What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're gonna be? I think it's that right there. It's grit.
All together.
Bear down, Chicago Bears. Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Bear down,
baby. Bear down.
Oh, there's another one. Goddamn bears. Oh, you okay, Clay? I had to protect you there for a minute. We had to protect Adrian. He's just getting back from Chicago right now. Adrian, did you survive the bear attacks?
I survived, man. They were more like teddy bear attacks.
Gummy bears. Welcome into the pod, ladies and gentlemen, the All Grit Podcast. I am your humble host, Caleb, joined alongside me by the OC, Adrian, the stat guy, Clay. And we're, you know what we're doing today, boys? All day.
Celebrating.
What a difference a week makes, my brothers.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, last week, this time, I believe this was the sounder that we were going off of the whole week, right?
Feeling sorry for ourselves.
Yeah, and then Sunday rolled around, and we're like, wait a minute. No, we're not going to keep doing that. We're going to pop the champagne, and we're going to take some bears down.
Yeah.
So let's go. So, Adrian, tell our listeners you had a front row seat to the Chicago game. Tell us everything and anything that you can. Start with your arrival on Sunday.
They want to hear the whole lowdown, but I'll give you the.
We got an hour.
No, it was great. It was my first away game in Chicago. I will say I do not like where the stadium is, just because it's like we got to park and then we got to walk basically like a mile or take an Uber. So we're like. We were actually running late, so I took an Uber, kind of bit the bullet.
Oh, damn.
And it was just, they had this traffic jam happening. They were closing down streets, so we ended up having to walk anyways. But anyways, we got there right at kickoff. We got to our seats right at kickoff. We were that late. And but we made it on time. We had great seats. Even though we were in the higher section, we were at the very front of the highest section. So nice. It's like you had an awesome view of just the entire field. And the sentiment in the beginning of the game from Bears fans was just like, okay, well, we have a chance to win this game because the Lions are decimated by injuries. So there's a chance we can win this game. And it was over before it even started. Like, as soon as I saw, you know, our defense, the way they started, I was like, this game's done. Like, the Bears, you know, their players, they just looked like they wanted to be on vacation. They weren't there to actually play.
Right,
but we had a great time.
You saw the players' faces. They were like, can we just get this thing going?
Yeah, I did see some highlights where you could see their faces, and I'd say the stadium. It was conservatively, if someone said guessed, it was probably like 50-50, 50% Lions fans, 50% Bears fans. But from my point of view, it looked like majority Lions fans. I thought it was more 60-40, the amount of support that we got from people going out there. It was a lot of fun. I sat around a couple Bears fans, and you know, we were going back and forth throughout the game. It was a lot of fun.
How did Eden do with you with the talking of the trash?
Oh, she was great. She was just laughing at everything. She went to go get me some drinks. You know, she was being a good sport the whole time, so I wouldn't miss the game. So nice. It was great. Made some new friends. Hopefully they're listening to the podcast. They were sitting by some lines.
Yeah, I saw that you were repping the hat. Were you able to, I mean, because we put you to the All Grit challenge of, you know, talking to somebody on the higher echelon.
Yeah, we didn't get that far. I feel like we tried moving seats at the very last quarter when most people were Bears fans were leaving.
Yeah,
and they have this new rule there at Soldier Field, like they actually check your ticket and make sure you're in that section for the lower bowl. So we couldn't get down close to the players we usually do at Ford Field. You know, like at the end, you could just go down to the lower bowl and scooch up and stuff. So we weren't able to do that, but it was a lot of fun. The vibes were immaculate. Like you said, a week ago, we're all down in the dumps, but everybody there, dude, everybody there is just like, that was pumped for a Super Bowl run. Everybody felt confident that we could run it. So
nice.
It was great.
Love it. All right. Well, I was thinking, what do you guys think if we talk a little bit O-line? I know we kind of talked about this a little bit, and Adrian, you had somebody, I think Clay, even you guys were agreeing on somebody that you saw in particular. So I wanted to kind of touch on this a little bit. What did you guys think of, you know, because believe it or not, Ragnow the last couple of weeks has been pushed around. I mean, he got pancaked last week, which led pressure to immediate either sack or an immediate incomplete. But, you know, how's the O-line looking yesterday compared to the last 2 weeks?
Night and day. Night and day. It was like last couple of weeks we were talking about it. It looked like they were like sick with the flu or something. But this game, they were back. And something that Clay can expound on, but I was really impressed with our rookie Christian Mahogany. Yeah. I had no idea the dude was even playing because, you know, it's like I was there at the game. I wasn't up to date on who was active and who wasn't and stuff. But I did notice, like, I was like, who is 73? Like, I see him in there a lot. Like, I didn't think he was like a big tight end they were putting in there. And then from my seat, I kind of realized that he was at left guard. And come to know, it was Christian Mahogany filling in for Graham Glasgow, who was injured.
Yeah, and so that came in late. Just so you know, we were sitting at home and, you know, we didn't even know that Graham Glasgow was out until last minute inactive.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this kid, man, he filled in. You wouldn't have even noticed it. Like, I didn't notice that we had a missing O-line guy and a backup was in there. We picked this kid in the, sixth round this year in the NFL draft? Christian Mahogany. He missed all of training camp because he was sick with something. And he wasn't able to start practicing till week four or something this year, where he started learning the system. And then he was activated 30 days ago or a month ago onto the active roster. And now he jumped everybody on the pecking order. And now he's the main backup.
See, that's what's crazy. Cause I was expecting
Coyote or
either him or
Kobe Sorsdahl.
Cody. Yeah. Kobe.
So it says that
crazy that he jumped all those. Go ahead, Clay.
He gave up one pressure and zero sacks. So that is for a divisional game. Who Chicago in the cold.
His rookie debut.
Just phenomenal. I mean, that's reassuring, man, because our offensive line is not getting younger. So that would bring our offensive line's age down by about a decade.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, I would say like Christian Mahogany, Ife Melifonwu, Amik Robertson, all these guys that came in to fill in a spot they're not used to. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel so much better.
And what a time for Ife to come back too, man. Like we've missed him, and it showed with that. He got that big sack. I think he got the first sack of the game, I believe.
Yeah.
He's the guy that sealed it up. He got the interception last year that sealed up the division for us last year. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was my next topic. We'll get off the O-line. But yeah, I mean, honestly, on that first drive, Clay, I looked at Chas and I said, Melifonwu two times on the opening drive stopped their drive.
And he was rusty. Like They asked Dan Campbell how his debut was. Like, you know, he's a little rusty, but he did. He showed pretty good stuff.
And I'm right,
like,
because he missed it. Another sack.
Like, if that's going to be your worst game, like, keep it going.
Right.
And I was 100 meters away. I didn't even know he was activated, but the first drive, I noticed him. Like, that's iffy right there. Like, you could notice him on the field. Like, he was changing the game. I loved it. And I was like, yep, number six, that's him. He's back.
Yep. So and nice I think see. You called it. I think we called it last week where they bumped Branch from safety into corner.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they put him at slot, and then they put
Amik on the outside.
Amik on the outside, right? Yep. And then they brought Melifonwu, so he was playing either a two top safety or then coming in off the blitz on a single high. Yep. So that was just, I mean, once again, we called it, but they know what they're doing. They know their personnel, and just amazing for his first game back for the year. First game for the year. We need him as the playoffs come up.
Dire.
Any other thoughts on so we talked about iffy. Did you have another name for defensive improvements? Any of you guys? I thought you said another
I just
one.
Think all around defense, like it was a defensive, like they stepped up, man. Like causing fumbles, or if Bears causing fumbles, we take advantage of it. You hop on the ball. That first one, like was it? I forgot who got the fumble recovery, but he like just Pascal. Was like like an arm's length away from it, and he grabbed the football and brought it. Like it was just like was so beautiful. Like that's heads on, that's eyes on the ball at all times. That's what it is. And they're just
great.
Just see. A night and day difference from last week when you know you were praying and hoping for one defensive stop, and they just look like they were out of sync last week, and then this week they look like they're back on it, and you know. They kind of got their butts chewed off and by the coach. So let's talk about that a little bit. So there was some MCDC showings. And I'm not sure if Adrian saw this because he was live on field, but they showed MCDC chewing Waymo out after what looked to be from the television view another horrible penalty on Jamo for spinning the ball, which every NFL player in the world does. They spin the ball on a first down. They spin the ball on a touchdown. But because he was out of bounds and he spun the ball, that was a penalty. Just complete horse, you know what?
Yeah.
Yep. And I think who knows what coach is telling him, but he's basically telling him, too, like, dude, you have a record now.
Yeah.
Like, so you're playing against the same team that – you got the penalty against last time against the same player, like the same two guys. You're going to get called, man.
Once again, like J-Mo was 2 feet out of bounds, and then the defender puts his hands on his back and pushes him out. It's like
same thing, man. Like
it's the same thing where J-Mo is just retaliating, and the retaliation gets the flag.
Yeah, it always happens that way. But I was expecting it. Like I knew at some point in the game, those two, Tyreek Stevenson and J-Mo, they were going to go at it. Like. They do not like each other. And I knew at some point somebody was going to get flagged. So I was like, all right, might as well get it out of the way. But Jamal got his, though. What was it, like two drives after that?
Yeah.
Got his touchdown,
so. Yeah, I think so, if not sooner. Yeah, so that was, you know, that was the big coaching point that MCDC did, because he pulls him over. He says, you can't do that. You know, he's hitting his chest. He's and J-Mo, you can see J-Mo wasn't mad. He was like, yep, that's on me. That's on me. I shouldn't have done it. And then the coach literally two drives later, maybe even less, just hits him on an 82-yard touchdown, the longest touchdown of J-Mo's career.
Yeah, I think it's the longest touchdown for Lions since, like, 2011, they said? It's been the longest play in a really long time.
I mean, we've all been waiting for that, right? We've all been waiting for Jared Goff to not throw a duck one time and actually throw a spiral, and he did. The spiral was clean.
Outside.
Outside, double gloves. He learned that from Teddy Two Glove and just whipped it, on a spring.
It was beautiful to see it in person because that went high. Like, you can't – I saw it on the replay that the ball goes out of the camera view. Mm-hmm. But, man, it was gorgeous just floating in the middle of the air and just, like, stood up, like, just waiting for it. And, man, the stadium exploded after that. On that Jamal touchdown, just, like, everybody started chanting, you know, Jared Goff, Jared Goff. And hopefully you guys heard it on TV. But, yeah, it was probably the hypest moment of the whole game. It was awesome.
Like you said, it went out of the TV screen. So like you see in the air, you're like, where did it go? Like where's it at? And then you see J-Mo's eyes the entire time on the ball. Like he knew where it was the entire time. It's so such a great play.
Now, did you guys see where Jared Goff threw that ball from? Because I didn't really get it exactly, but I think it was around the 11.
Like where he was standing, right?
Not where, the line he was, where he was standing. Or was it the 21? Yeah. I think it was around the 11 because they hiked it from like the 20 and then he took a long step back.
I think they hiked from the 17 and he took like probably 5 yards back, I'm guessing. So yeah, you're right around 11 or 12.
Somewhere around 11, 12. And that ball landed. Oh gosh, I know you got whoever's listening. This is going to go back and watch it and correct me, but I'm swearing that ball came down somewhere around the Lions 35, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So if you do some quick math, it was over a 55 yard throw clean in the air. Just
It perfect. It was just like the timing, like J-Mo didn't have to slow down or anything. Like, it was perfect
timing. And that's, I mean, honestly, bro, that's the thing. That's like for the last 3 years that we've had him, even though 1 year was a red shirt and then last year had his hiccups, but it's like,
it's always been the time.
That's the first one. That's the first one that J-Mo has ran full speed and Jared Goff hit him in stride where the ball was almost overthrown. It was like an inch past him.
Yeah.
And you know, normally J-Mo's got to come back to it.
Yeah.
And that slows down the touchdown.
I don't know if J-Mo was even going full speed because on the replay, it doesn't look like he's trying his hardest. And I feel like if I was an athlete, I wouldn't be trying to go full 100% outside in that stadium. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he would be his fullest top speed indoors on turf. But anyways, it was a beautiful play.
Well, he knew that 70% of the time he's got to come back to the ball because he's running so fast. So he probably wasn't running full speed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Hey, let's get into our sponsor because we forgot to bring him in. So let's see. Do you have that?
Yep.
Sorry, I got it.
Today's episode is sponsored by Dan Diamond Equipment, a used fork truck dealing company located in Hastings, Michigan. They sell and rent fork trucks and die handlers. With over 30 years of experience, don't hesitate to call Dan Diamond Equipment for all of your fork truck needs. Reach out to Dan at 269-948-3377. Again, the number for Dan Diamond Equipment, 269-948-3377.
And to tag along with that podcast, remember you all podcast list, or excuse me, All Grit. What am I doing, bro? I swear it's water. The All Grit podcast recently had a new subscription for the podcast. So that means we're going to have longer podcasts. We're going to have more guests on, whatever. But please donate to our cause here. We're trying to pay this bill off and we need your help. The All Grit pod on PayPal. You know, we don't have $200 laying around that we can just pay. You know, we need help. I'm sure Adrian.
We're in debt, man. We're in a deficit.
Dark times in the street, yo.
My wife's screaming at me.
We're so poor in debt that we have to take turns. We can't have plaques on because it costs too much money to run four mics.
Yeah, plaques is he's struggling, man. He's trying to pay some bills and.
So anyway, right, shout out to Plax. Look us up on PayPal, All Grit Pod, and if not, look us up on Instagram. You got Adrian, Clay, and myself. We can hook you up with Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal. Or Apple Pay.
All right.
What are we talking next, boys?
I was going to ask what your guys' favorite play of the game was.
Didn't we just talk about it?
Was that your favorite play? Because that was my favorite play. That's not my favorite. It would have been any other game.
That's not your favorite play of the game?
That's not my favorite.
You guys go. Give me time to think. Give me time to think. Go ahead, Clay.
Stumble, fumble, Roosky play. Right,
Ben Johnson and his bag of tricks. Yeah. And what's crazy too is watching this, like the history of this play. You go back to when Packers played the Chicago Bears. There's been replays all over Twitter and social media. Love fumbles the ball, picks it up, and then throws it to his tight end. And literally, Ben Johnson studied the Bears defense on that play.
Crazy, man.
And going off from Jared Goff's presser, is Ben Johnson literally told him, hey, I want you to fumble the ball on purpose. Like, fumble the ball on purpose. And Goff's like, whoa, 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 let's settle down here. But they come up with that play, and it's great watching Jared Goff watch the replay because the field guys had him watch it. And you hear it. I went back and rewound it. You hear it. The defense of Chicago says, fumble, 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 fumble.
Yeah.
And just.
Beautiful. It was actually. So what I've been hearing recently, even from Rex Ryan and not from the Detroit side of it, but he said that was Detroit Lions shouting fumble, fumble, fumble to allow the defense to know to look down and look for the ball. So Are you kidding me?
Wow, this play is crazy.
Just insane.
And again, wasn't a perfect pass by Jared Goff. Like I said, it was a little bit over, but it was right. I mean, LaPorta brought it in, and it was just a great.
That's probably the best play of the game.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, just the mind games behind it. I love. Like, yeah, it's not just like confusion. It's like confusion and mind games happening at the same time. From our point of view, you know, we're in the stadium, and I was like, man, I can't believe we just fumbled it right there. And it looked like Gibbs. I thought he got on top of it. And then all of a sudden, Goff throws the ball, and it's a touchdown. We're all like, all the Lions fans we were sent by, we were like all confused, like, what just happened? Like, we scored. And then, you know, they're like, the board is a touchdown and everything. And the Bears fans, bro, they were all like in disbelief. They're like, what just happened? Because they thought they got a fumble. Some of them up, like, oh, a fumble, you know, like, and then it was a touchdown. And so I was messing with the guys behind us. I'm like, dude, Ben Johnson wrote that up. He's a genius. They're like, there's no way that was on purpose.
Yeah.
And then when we watched the replay on the big board and we could see Goff, you know, put it in one hand, the other, I'm like, dude, that was on purpose. It was designed. Yep. They were all so mad, bro. They're like, they're just playing with us.
Bro, that's awesome that you caught that from where you were sitting in your vantage point, because, you know, we're sitting on the couch, got a big old 65-inch TV I'm staring at. And from my point of view, as soon as Goff went down, I said, oh, crap, he's fallen. Yep. And then when I saw Gibbs dive at nothing, that's when I said, literally, I said, it's fake. This is a fake. And then when you see Jared Goff turn around, like, he just stood up like, just kidding. And he throws the ball. And I was watching it with my mom and dad and my wife in the basement. And I'm like screaming up and down like, it was a fake. That was. And they're like, no, it wasn't. He got lucky that I'm like, watch this. And they showed the replay and my dad's jaw dropped. He was like, you have got to be kidding. I mean, he's not a big of a, you know, slappy as we all are, but when he saw the I don't know, the smarts behind that play, he was just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Do you think that Ben Johnson put that play in on purpose to show off in front of the Bears because he wants the Bears job? That was some rhetoric this week around that.
But does he want the Bears job is my question.
I wouldn't. I don't know. I would not want to coach the Bears organization.
No.
Like, he's got so much, like, he's got so much power this offseason. Yep. He can go wherever he wants.
Yep.
I would not
right here too.
Yeah. I would not choose
He could just get a couple more million because, you know, he's married. I'm not sure if he's got kids, but like, he could be nice and comfy in Detroit. He loves it here.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to back-to-back Super Bowls?
And there's a lot of business in head coach, man. Like, you're in front of the camera way more than you are
right
what you're doing now. Right. So
yeah. Totally different job.
All right, boys. Let's get into this bold take before we forget this. So let's make sure you ready, Adrian? All right. Adrian's bold take last week was no demo. No problemo. I think you got it, boys.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Yes. My first one.
He's on the board because what happened with Jahmyr Gibbs there, Adrian. Why don't you let
109 yards. I said over 100, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just said those boys on the running backs are going to have a day even without. Actually, I think you said they're going to run for the most that they've run for all year.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so they got a total of 146 rushing yards. I'll have to look at the other games, but
no, we'll give that to you, bro. You said no.
It was no problem. So they did it.
It was no problem. It was clean.
They gave the Gibbs three times from the one. So,
bro, that was hilarious. and if they didn't get it on that third, what's the percentage they were going to do the same play? I was like, put in Vaki. At least that little dude can run a little harder.
Right. Oh, I was there. We'll get that later, but I was yelling Vaki. Get Vaki in there. Get Vaki.
Yeah, I bet you were. Oh, speaking of, Clay said Vaki gets a touchdown.
Oh, I thought it was coming. After Gibbs didn't get the first two, I thought he was coming in.
And Caleb, way off, bro. Caleb Williams is going to throw two picks.
Well,
didn't even throw one. Jeez.
But he had a fumble. They gave him the fumble, so he had a turnover.
Yeah. Yeah, I should have called turnovers. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Roma Dunze had two turnovers.
Oh,
from your point of view, did you know he fumbled on that long, like that?
On the second one?
Yeah.
On the second one, I literally, from my point of view, who's running on our side of the field where we were, and I said, he's holding that ball out way too close out. And I saw either Campbell and Nowoski coming. I'm like, I hope they punch it out. And they did, bro. They did. I called that one because from my point of view, you could see him. Like it was away from his body. I was like, he's carrying that way too outside.
Well, the thing too is like the Lions players were holding him up. They weren't like tackling him. So it's like, and then you see all these other Lions coming in and trying to hit the ball out. And sure enough.
I love when they do that. They just, you know, try to get a turnover like that and punch the ball out.
Got you. All right, boys. This week, let's talk playoff scenarios before we get into our next bold take. So just to catch our listeners up on playoff scenarios and what we need to happen. The Lions will know on Sunday night before their game on Monday if they have a chance to lock up the number one seed in the NFC. Now, how will they know that? Because if the Green Bay Packers beat the Minnesota Vikings this Sunday coming up,
which I think they can,
1 o'clock in Minnesota. If the Packers can do that, all the Lions have to do is win a simple game out in San Francisco where their team is literally putting players up for the year. I mean, Trent Williams, right? Went on the injured reserve for the year. He's done. Their team is hurt. They're suffered. Lions are coming in because they want revenge because they knocked them out of the NFC Championship last year. I mean, it's a Lions are up on the points, right? What's the point spread on that game already?
It really is just the Lions by 3.5. So far, they're saying
which is really six because home field advantage is three. Yep. Yeah. So, all right. So Lions will know either or. So the question comes up, if the Vikings do win, it sets up everything for a week 18 in Detroit. Literally, the Lions do not have to play one starter in San Francisco because that game literally will not matter. It's crazy how it works.
Right?
If the Vikings win, it will not matter. You can do the math. I've done the math. Yeah, it does not matter.
They have to be Vikings.
The question comes up is to Dan Campbell, do you rest starters or do you risk starters being hurt from meaningless game, and then week 18 is at your crib. So we'll see what he does about that.
I think we already know the answer, bro.
We do.
Oh, we already know the answer for sure.
We already know the answer, bro. He's playing those dudes. He's playing them to 100.
Revenge tour. Revenge tour.
Well, he just called in, and here's his answer.
Who are we? What makes us what we are?
what is that, Dan? I don't know.
It's that right there. It's grit.
Oh. He told us.
Old Lions, you sit players.
Yep.
Old Lions would sit people, let them get rusty. And I think he wants his best guys out there for this.
Yeah.
Even I still haven't watched the game from last year. I still have not watched it. I didn't finish Netflix's Wide Receiver because I know how it ends.
Yeah.
I can't watch.
I did watch because it was so beautiful for us to be up going into halftime, like whatever it was, 27-7 or whatever.
I don't know what happened, man.
But I was talking with my buddy about it last night, and it just brought back the horrible feelings of last year. And if I'm feeling that, the players are feeling that, the coaches are feeling that, and they want it, man. They want this game. This has been circled on their calendar.
Yeah, they do.
Yes. Day one.
They do.
Yes. But how great, you know, how much the great have fallen. Like, Niners are in the Super Bowl last year as this huge, mean, green machine, and now they're out, not even in the playoffs, man. Yep. They're eliminated.
Mathematically eliminated.
It just shows how in this game, this league, things can change super quick.
Yep.
It's crazy.
And you're like, and all, you know, I'm not taking any respect from any players out there, but Brock Purdy was talked about so much last year. So much. Like, all San Francisco's got their guy. He's going to run the NFC for years to come. He loses his offense, and look where he's at. Like, yeah. But it's just cool to see in the resilience of our team, who's, I know, like, it's more or less the defense that banged up, but just makes you appreciate Jared Goff even more. He's not flashy. He's not a guy who's talked about like Patrick Mahomes or like Allen.
That's why that fumble play works, because he would. I love that.
Yep, he's just our guy, man, and I love him.
Yeah.
All right, boys. So let's wrap it up then with our bold takes.
Beat San Fran.
Yeah, I want to beat them, just regardless of what the result from Minnesota and Packers is.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you. We got you.
Okay, sorry. So what do you think if we get our bold takes? Let's get our bold takes for this upcoming week.
Bold takes.
So bold takes, we're going to, it's actually a Monday night football game this week in Santa Clara?
Santa Clara.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So I got mine, boys. You want me to go first? I never go first. Let me give you some time.
Yeah, go first.
All right. Get ready. All right. Let me see here. No, we don't have anything. All right, so my bold take for this upcoming Monday night. Who did the San Francisco 49ers want as a tight end for this upcoming year?
Ooh, do you guys Brock remember? Right.
Yes. Yeah, they actually put a little contract down for him, and they said Lions match this contract or he's coming to Santa Clara. And what did the Lions do?
They matched it.
They signed the contract. They matched it. Brock Wright goes off for a touchdown. So it might not be Super Bowl. However, he is our second string tight end. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of hands that need to be fed before he would even get a touch of a football. So it's bold in that way. It's bold
And Dan Campbell being Dan Campbell. He knows his history. He knows what he's going to do.
Exactly. It's those mind games that we were just talking about with Ben Johnson. You know, he knows that San Francisco wanted him, so he's going to play a mind game and say, this is what you wanted. Look what he's doing to you. Oh, if he does that, that's so disrespectful. Yeah. All right. What say you, Clay? Bold take.
So, I mean, if it's not bold enough, let me know, and I'll come up with a bolder one, but I say Packers are going to run off this momentum from last night.
Let's go.
And Packers are going to beat the Vikings on Sunday. And I am ordering my NFC Championship North hat on Monday night after the Niners.
What? Game. Oh. Now that's when it got bold. Say it again. Ooh. So the people in the back can hear it.
So Packers beat Vikings, Lions beat the Niners, and we're all ordering our NFC Championship North hat gear. We're wrapping Sunday it up night. Next Monday.
Yeah.
Let's
go. I love it.
And if that happens, boys, all you can have over at the crib, you got to come all the way from Grand Blanc.
Yep. So Ryan, all of our Packer fans that we've had on the show, go Packers next Sunday.
Kumbaya, baby.
1 day contract. We have a 1 day contract with you guys.
You know what? I might go on Amazon. Go ahead and give us your bold take. I'm going to go on Amazon real quick and see how much a cheesehead is.
All right, Adrian. My bold take is, man, I've been hoping for such a long time. I think he's ready. Terron Arnold finally gets his first interception this game. Interception Brock Wright, and he gets his first interception of the year. It's my bold take. He's playing. He's been playing really good.
Oh, he's been playing. Yeah,
phenomenal for a rookie.
I like that first pick
for TA.
TA. All right. So for some reason, Amazon doesn't have the actual cheesehead. But if you can, those of you who are on YouTube, you know, that's $9.99. I could get that over to the house in 2 days, bro. What do you think?
For 1 day, that's all we need it for. So I think that's good for 1 day.
Yeah, I'm gonna return it the next day anyway.
The only moment we cheer for the Green Bay Packers is for what, 3 hours?
Yep,
that's right. What about that one?
Ooh, there you go.
What's that called, Adrian?
Give that to Grady when you're done with it.
What are those called? What are the kids calling these
bucket
days?
Bucket hats.
Right. Bucket hats. Yeah, they used to call them Gilligan hats when I was growing up. But
yeah,
we got the bucket hats there. That's all cheese. That's actually pretty cool. So yeah, too bad it's a Sunday at 1 o'clock. I'd like to get you guys over and watch that game because that game is just as important as a Lions game to me. So
yeah, and I really think that Green Bay is just going to win that one.
Do you?
Minnesota's been fraudulent.
Man, Green Bay looked hot last night, bro.
Yeah.
It's my bold take. So when Green Bay beats Vikings, it'd be cool if we could watch the game together on Monday night. Maybe see if I can head out there Monday night. So I'll let you know. I mean, it's a holiday week next week too. So
that's
true.
I forgot. Okay.
That's true, man. Oh, you know what? So Cody Gillison is coming over. So yeah, it's already a done deal, bro. If you guys can make it, come on.
All right. When Green Bay wins, I'll start making my arrangements. So.
All right. Sounds good.
Green Bay just got out, Cody. Green Bay, do your part.
Got to. We're going to have a basement party, boys.
Nice.
All right. So real quick, I know we didn't get to it, but game ball, a quick game ball and a quick who fumbled the football. So Adrian, you want to go ahead and do your game ball first.
Game ball, I'm going to give it to J-Mo. He had the best game of his career so far. He played great. And who fumbled the ball? That one's tough because I felt like everybody did a fantastic job. But I will say who fumbled the ball was the Chicago Bears interim head coach. He should have gone for it so many different times. He had nothing to lose. Like the Bears fans, they were so frustrated and upset. They're like, why wouldn't you just go for it? It's 4th and 5. Like, I know it's the second quarter or whatever, but it's like, dude, you have nothing to lose. You're interim, like, you know, put some juice here for the fans. And he was just punting it the whole game. So fumble goes to him for just not going for it.
All right. Makes sense. Clay, what you got?
My game ball goes to Antoine Randle-L. I think
good one.
The way he's got these receivers going, man, all across the board, what he's done with the wide receivers, and also he's still got that speed, man. He was running down the field with J-Mo and the entire hyping him up.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you see your wide receivers coach get fired up like that, it drives you. Like you could just tell, like, it was hyping up the sidelines, and it really, as Adrian said, it just really fired up the team from then on out. From the rest of the game,
go ahead.
No, go. Keep going.
No. Go ahead. Adrian did both of them, so.
My fumble, man, like you said, it's a hard one. But yeah, I'd give it to. Man, it's hard to get a fumble on the Lions for that one because it was really a must win, and we got the job done. Like, we really did on all facets of the game.
Yeah, there was nothing really, like, obvious that was like, oh, you idiot, you know? You know, I had to stretch it, too, because my game ball, I knew we were all going to get different game balls because it literally could have gone to J-Mo, could have gone to Jameer for his first, you know, game this year without Monty. Just took control. I mean, when he's out there running, I know people make fun of the Sonic thing, but the dude is running by people at a clip that is like, you go back to Alvin Kamara, you know, and because everyone says his style is the same, and it really is, but he's faster than Alvin Kamara. Like, he is just unbelievable.
That spin move he had. That spin move.
Spin move. Oh. It's gonna be a tackle for a loss, and it turns into a first down. It was crazy.
That's what I'm saying. So that, or you know what, I still got to put Jared Goff in there for two plays, for the 82 yard bomb, and for the fumble Ruski. Like, those two plays put up 14 points, and Jared Goff was precise with both of them. Perfect with both of them. So I mean, that ball could go to anywhere. And for, if I'm going to give somebody a bad take, it's just because I have to reach, it's going to be the referees for throwing a flag on J-Mo for spinning a ball. Like, that's, come on, dude. Let the guy play. That's a play that everybody does. And that's
Travis Kelce doesn't get that flag. I'm just going to say it. Travis Kelce won't get that flag. Like, you're not going to get that flag. Like,
yep.
This is what I mean when people say that we get all the love. Like, dude, we don't.
Right.
This is what I mean too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Adrian, I forgot we have a speak pipe here. You want to play that real quick?
Oh, that's right.
Our boy AG. Go ahead.
Yeah, our boy AG sent a speak pipe in. Shout out to AG in Florida. Love this guy. Big friend of the show. Let's hear what he's got to say this week.
What's going on, fellas? It's your boy AG, always repping the D down in the Sunshine State. Been a little minute since I've been on the speak pipe, but wanted to stop in and just offer a voice of encouragement to y'all and the listeners. Don't really got a question. But I think we all share Dan Campbell's sentiments that he said on the talk show. At this point going forward, it don't matter how we get our wins. We can give up a million yards of offense, have 10 yards of offense ourselves, but if we win by 50, our team is built on grit. The podcast is built on grit, right? So now is the time where that personality of our team is just really going to have to show. And, you know, all these injuries suck, right? But you know what the injuries did is that it put us on a level playing field with everybody else. It took 20-plus guys for everybody else to have a shot. So our team is built for an unbelievable Super Bowl window, and we still got a great shot this season. The wins just won't come easy, so I'm still all in, boys. I know you guys are all in, but just to all the listeners that have doubts, be all in, because reinforcements are coming. We're going to get some guys back from the IR, and our Super Bowl window is wide open for a long time, so we good. But as always, boys, keep up the great work. I'm out. Peace.
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, AG said it's how we all feel, man.
Those are like, our sentiments.
Be all right.
Yeah, sure.
So, all right. You boys got anything else?
I'm looking forward to this weekend, man. Yeah, I think we're just going to run the table. We'll take the one seed. It's going to come down to a bye week, and it's going to run through Detroit. These playoffs are going to run through Detroit. So I saw what I needed to see this weekend, and that's why I'm convinced.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
I agree. I'm hyped, man. Right. This is what you.
I know. We're back.
You know what? I do have a San Francisco buddy. I got two of them.
I got two friends here from Wyoming. They go to Central. They're going to be at the game. They're flying out.
Oh, wow.
He is a Niners fan and she's a Lions fan. So
let me guess. Is that Jacob?
No, close. Heidi and Anthony Torres. They're going to be flying out to watch the game in person. So,
okay.
I'll see if I can get them for the pod or something.
Yeah. You know, maybe they can take the microphone that I had ready for you to do some interview that you left in my mailbox.
My bad, bro. My bad. Next time. Dude, next
Clay,
time
not everybody's like us, bro. When they're on the road, you know, we get interviews. This dude's getting there like 1 minute before the national anthem, or 1 minute after the national anthem. I should say.
Yeah, I made it just in time for kickoff.
Nice. All right. Well, you know what? I want to put a nice little outro on here for us. So, you know, this is our normal outro. This is the All Grit Podcast. However, with us sweeping the Bears, I think it's one last time we need to all sing together. Crank that up, Adrian. Full power, baby. Bear down, Chicago Bears.
I love it.
All right. For the All Grip Podcast, this is Caleb, Adrian, Clay. Holler at us. We're on the All Grip Pod. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, Amazon,
iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
You name it.
Look us up on SpeakPipe/AllGritPodcast. Get your questions in. We'd love to have some more people on the show here, you know? We need to pay some bills.